master technologist and salesperson. If he is looking to change biotech, the old players need to watch out, says Kaganovich. Unlike Thiel, Andreessen Horowitz has said it won't fund actual biotech companies that do laboratory work because the area is too unfamiliar. Instead, the money it put into SolveBio is part of the booming category of digital health, mostly medical software or fitness gadgets, which last year garnered $4.2 billion in venture investment, according to Rock Health. Thiel has invested in digital health too, but he says it worries him when too many companies are chasing the same ideas. I would say everything that fits a trend is bad, just always bad, he says. Funding biology companies that do wet lab work keeps Thiel in less crowded territory. There's always a connection to his interest in anti-aging strategies. He takes human growth hormone daily and has signed up for cryonic freezing. These are what Thiel might term definite behaviors, taking action rather than assuming no change is possible. The way people deal with aging is a combination of acceptance and denial, he says. They accept there is nothing they can do about it and deny it's going to happen to them. In 2011, the Thiel Foundation created Breakout Labs, an internal organization that gives small companies, often of just two or three people, investments of $350,000 to de-risk scientific ideas and prepare them to raise more cash. Breakout has become the foundation's largest effort. It has so far put $7 million into roughly two dozen hard science companies, nearly all of them biotechnology firms. These include 3Scan, which is commercializing a new kind of scanning microscope, and Epibone, a New York City spinoff of Columbia University that's using a bioreactor to grow replacement bones. Lindy Fishburn, Breakout's executive director, says Thiel's hope is to jailbreak good technologies trapped in universities or other institutions and get them into the economy. Fishburn says Breakout will only invest in companies actually run by their founders. This may be Thiel's most significant departure from the way many blue-chip biotechnology startups get formed. These are often conceived by venture firms and overseen by professional managers. They spend their seed money licensing patents and lining up advisory boards of important researchers. Compare that with Immusoft, a Thiel investment that is using gene therapy to turn blood cells into drug factories and hopes to treat a rare syndrome called Hurler's disease. Founder Matthew Schultz, a software entrepreneur, says he became obsessed with the idea that the immune system can be programmed. Previously, he'd run a truck logistics company. Thiel wasn't discouraged that Schultz had no formal training in biology or had used Wikipedia to make sense of academic papers. Schultz says the Breakout grant allowed him to demonstrate his ideas in mice for the first time. This year, he expects to ask the FDA to permit tests in people. It's gone from, "This guy has no business in this space," to, "Oh, Dr. Schultz is calling," he says. Thiel's contrarian formula is no guarantee. A few years ago, Founders Fund plowed money into Halcyon Molecular, a startup run by a pair of college dropouts in a loft with a foosball table. Halcyon wanted to develop an ultra-cheap DNA sequencing machine, but it failed. More to the point, none of the companies in Thiel's portfolio have ever put a drug or treatment on the market. That may be the ultimate test of a biotechnology company, but getting there requires it to complete years of studies and gain clearance from regulators. That is different than the tech world. They are used to something happening more rapidly, says Terry McGuire, head of the healthcare practice at Boston-based Polaris Ventures, which made more investments in biotechnology companies last year than any other U.S. venture fund. McGuire says West Coast tech investors are good at making bold, extreme bets, but no one has a monopoly on inventing the future. There is boldness that we find here as well, he says, but it's tempered with reality. Industry body calls for gene editing moratorium by Antonio Regalado from Technology Review Magazine, April 2015. Officials of a biotechnology industry group have called for a voluntary moratorium on using new DNA editing techniques to change the genetic characteristics of human embryos in laboratory research. In an editorial recently published by the journal Nature, Edward Lamphere, CEO of the biotechnology company Sangamo Biosciences, and four colleagues write that scientists should agree not to modify the DNA of human reproductive cells because it raises safety and ethical risks, including the danger of unpredictable effects.